2 Peter chapter 1, and when you find that, stand together with me, and we'll read our text for today. 2 Peter chapter 1. All right, starting verse 5, we're going to read all the way to verse 11 and continue with our series today, Overcoming Doubt. Verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Can I get an amen on the patience one? Amen. Yes, we need that, don't we? And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That phrase there in verse number 9, he has forgotten. What does that mean? You ever forgot where you put the keys? You ever forgot? We forget stuff all the time. You know, as guys, it's like a common occurrence with us, forgetfulness. Well, it's a shame when you forget you're saved. Wouldn't you agree with that? Whenever you forgot you're saved, what comes along with it is doubt. And this is what we need to deal with, and that's what we're dealing with in this study. Doubt. Verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Well, that makes sense. After he's talked about doubt, it's time for us to make sure we're saved. Let's get some assurance there. Amen. Then he goes on. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And he's talking not there about falling out of salvation. He's talking about falling into the doubt of your salvation. Okay, because you can't lose your salvation. So he's referring to what he's been talking about all of the time, doubting your salvation. And if you have these things he speaks of, 5 through 7, then you won't doubt your salvation. It won't happen. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That right there, verse 11, that is assurance of salvation. And that's what he wants us to have. I pray your blessings tonight on the word. I pray you'd go before us. And Lord, help us to understand your word and make a proper application tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I meant to give you this before you were seated, but the overall sermon series title is Overcoming Doubt. So we're going to have multiple sermons, that being the, you know, the overall title. Now, even though today, like for instance, today we're going to be preaching a message from this text with the overall title of Overcoming Doubt, we're not going to talk a whole lot about overcoming doubt, but we're going to be adding principles that if you add these things, then you will begin to overcome doubt. So the overall series is Overcoming Doubt. And then you could give a subtitle to it if you're taking notes, and this would be a good subtitle: Getting Back into the God's Pattern of Spiritual Growth. Getting back into God's pattern of spiritual growth. Okay? And then another subtitle. Is it okay if I have two subtitles? I love it. Here's the next one. It all starts with an open heart. That's the second subtitle. It all starts with an open heart. Now, with all of that in mind, I do want to ask you a question. Have you ever, you know, learned something from the Bible, and then after you learned that, you felt like when you looked back, you felt like, I should have already known that? Now, some of you've not been saved very long, and so it might be that you haven't felt that way a lot. But some of us that have been around church or been around religious stuff for a long time, we would hear a message or a lesson from the Bible, and along the way we might say something like this: I should have known that. Have you ever said that? Have you ever thought that way? You know, it's a common thing that we have as Christians that we would go to church, we would be exposed to religious things along the way, and we would never have heard some things, you know, and feel like we're learning some things that we should have already known. I want you to imagine with me, if you would, that you're working a job and you've been there for 20 or 30 years. So if you've been at a job for that long, you know what you're doing, right? So you've been working the job and you're just kicking along, and now a young guy comes in, like the young whippersnapper, you know, and he's been there for a year, maybe 2 years. You've been there 20 plus years. And it seems during, you know, he's doing the same type of job as you. You've been doing a lot longer than him, but it seems that he's getting the job done faster than you. But not just faster than you, better than you. And so, you know, you find that just a little bit irritating. And a young guy comes along and he does that faster and better. And you've been doing it for a long time. And so, you know, you just go along with it, maybe internalize that frustration or that irritation that you have. And then you're in the break room. It's break time and you're in there with this guy and, you know, you're just eating or whatever you do during break time. And he kind of scoots over towards you and he says, "Hey, I was wondering, would it be okay if, you know, when we got back out there in the shop, if I showed you how to do this particular thing a little bit better, you know, the modular," and then all of a sudden for you it just sounds like this, blah, 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 because you're thinking, what? This young guy is going to teach me 20 years experience how to do something? But you want to be humble, right? And so you say, "Sure, we'll go out into the shop, and you have been here," and of course we're being sarcastic, patronizing a little bit, but he doesn't know because you want to make him think you're being genuine. "Yeah, yeah, you show me, but inside it's all sarcastic. Yeah, show me something in the shop about the modular blah, blah, blah that I don't already know because I've been doing this for 20 years. Yeah, show me something I don't know." And then you get in there and, you know, you're humoring him and you're standing by the little thing that you've been doing for 30 years and he starts working on it and your mouth begins to drop. And you start to realize, whoa, for 30 years, I have been doing this the hard way. That's a real sickening feeling. Well, sometimes when it comes to Bible things, it's that way in our life. We need to learn. We need to grow. And along the way, we haven't learned some things. And we've been around a while, some of us. That didn't come out right, but you know what I mean by that. We've been down the road a few times. We're the 20-year experience person. And we feel like, I should know these things. But then you come along, or rather a guy comes along, and I'm not making an allusion to myself here, or at least I wasn't meaning to, but anyway. We learn some things from the scripture, whether it's me or somebody is teaching us the Bible, and we're hearing things and we say that, internalize. We're internalizing this statement, but it's there nonetheless. I've been doing this for this long and I'm just now learning this. You know, we get there, don't we? But instead of allowing those things to frustrate us so that we get away from growing and accepting these truths, these principles, and allowing them to become a part of our life, we need to embrace them. We need to come with the type of heart that says, this is what I need. I need to hear these things. I need to grow in these things. We need the Word of God. We need the basic lessons that we're going to hear from the Word of God, whether we've, you know, feel like we've learned these things in the past or not. We need these things. It's dangerous for Christians to lack the keys to spiritual growth. It's dangerous for us because when we aren't growing and we are not learning the things that we need to learn, then we become vulnerable. And when you're vulnerable, then that's when doubt creeps in. That's when the doubt of your salvation and the lack of confidence comes into your life, when you're not growing the way that you should. And so we need to accept these things. Because whenever we are not growing and we're not allowing ourselves to be taught, and yeah, the principles from God's word, I'm not going to allow myself to be taught these things because I've heard this stuff before. I've heard this message 100 times and it's blah, blah, blah. You see, and we're not accepting it, we're not receiving it. And when we do that, when we come with that kind of heart, then we're going to become vulnerable. And certain levels of doubt are going to be there. And we're going to become vulnerable to the false teachings. And we're going to become vulnerable to the world. And a host of other problems are going to come into our life when we're not allowing ourselves to be open to the teachings of God's word. Because we know it. Or at least we feel like we should have already known this. You know, Peter wanted these believers to have confidence that they're saved. He wanted them to be strong spiritually. He understood the incredible importance of being strong, spiritually speaking. False teachers are going to come to the church, and they're going to be, these Christians are going to be exposed to these false teachings. And if they're not strong, then they're going to become vulnerable to the false teachings. Listen, church, who is the most vulnerable to false doctrine? Who are the most vulnerable ones? There's two kinds of Christians that are most vulnerable to false doctrine. One are new believers. Why are new believers vulnerable? Because they don't know. They're new. They don't know the scriptures. They haven't been around it long enough to be able to discern this is truth, this is not truth. It all sort of blurs together and gets confusing for new believers. Now, that's not a slight. It's just the reality. The other person is a believer that's been saved a long time, but they're not listening. They're not open. They're not allowing the truths of God's word to penetrate. Therefore, they're vulnerable to the false teachings. And listen, we need to be strong because the false teachings are going to be there. They're going to come, and they come in so many different ways, don't they, church? How does false teachings come your way? I mean, I think we need to identify this and remember this because they're going to come at you as attacks, and if you're not knowledgeable, then it's going to hit you, and you're not even going to know what you're getting hit with. It's like the devil. He's sly, he's sleek, he's sneaky, and he comes in like sometimes through the back door, and it sneaks in through religious ideas that are false, and they come into you. Where do they come from? Well, there's religions all around. We have to be wary. We have to be mindful that religions are different for a reason. You can't have a religion over here that teaches one thing about salvation, a religion over here that teaches another thing about salvation, entirely different salvations, and they're both right. Can that be? No. Somebody's wrong, or they're both wrong, but they can't both be right. So how do you know the difference? The truth is what separates. You need to be exposed. You need to have this knowledge. It needs to come into you, and you need to be taught. And that's what Peter is telling the church here. They need to have the knowledge, the strength, to be able to overcome these false teachings that are going to be blasted at them. Now, does this mean that we are to be arrogant in our knowledge? Some of us have been around a little while and we know some things about the Bible. Do we approach the false doctrine with arrogance or egotism? Do we put people in their place or put people down? No, there's a spiritual aspect, and we're not to approach relationships in that spirit or in that manner and just blasting and correcting things. We just need to know how to identify it. Because if you don't have the knowledge, you're going to be vulnerable, church. And Peter doesn't want the church to be vulnerable, and I don't want you to be vulnerable. And it's going to be coming your way all around, and we need to have this knowledge. And so Peter wanted them to grow spiritually. It would come, it would be identified not only in their spiritual growth, but in their walk with God, in their love for people. In all of these areas, God grows us and strengthens us, and it happens through the truth of God's holy word. Now, we need to build up our spiritual strength. And so to do that, it's going to require us to add some things. Now, my question for you, church, is do you want to do this? Now, I could teach you the Bible. We could go through all of the technicalities of the scriptures. I can tell you the definitions. I can give you proper interpretation. We can do the church thing. Or you can come to church on Wednesday nights through 2 Peter for the next however many sermons we're going to be doing on overcoming doubt, because I don't even know. It's going to be several, because we're going to be very thorough with this. You can come with the heart, I need this. And I need this knowledge because I want to be able to stand against the false teachings that are out there. And I want to be a strong Christian. And if that's your heart, you might say, well, I'm not as strong as I need to be. Well, we probably would all say that. And we need to gain a strength that only God can give us. This is the pattern. And if you want to know how to get that strength and to gain that knowledge that you need to be a mature and strong Christian that's not egotistic, that's not arrogant, that knows when truth and error is in, or rather knows the truth so that when error comes, we're able to identify it. It protects you. If you want that, then you're going to get it in this study. And today's just the first one, so you can't just say, I'm going to be here today and I'm going to get all I need. No, we're just starting it off today. We're barely starting today, actually. We're not even going to get to the first one. That's how barely starting we are. And so you're going to need each one. You need to make plans. Well, it's a blizzard out. Good thing we record these messages. Go online and listen to it if you're not able to be here. But go ahead and make plans to be a part of this. We need to be involved, engaged in God's process of spiritual growth. We need this. And so as we introduced last time, once somebody gets saved, they need to make their spiritual growth a priority. It needs to be like number one on the list. Look at verse 5 again. This is what he's saying in verse 5. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, whenever he says beside this, he's obviously, you don't start a sentence that way. Verse 5, it says and. The first word is and. That's bad English whenever you start a sentence with the word and. You know why it starts with and beside this? Because that's not when the thought starts. The thought starts in verse 1. And he's building on that concept. Beside this means, this is what I want you to add to what I just said. Well, for us to add to what he just said, we have to remember what he just said. And my guess is I'm amongst friends, mutual people who have bad memories. And it might be that you don't remember what we preached about in the first 4 verses. And if you weren't here, you really don't remember. Unless you have an incredible ability to hear from long distances, you probably don't remember. So what did he say in verses 1 through 4? And this is what we're building on. Well, he says we need knowledge. It's a knowledge of God. Look at verse 1. Let's just read it. I think it's verse 1 or 2. No, it's verse 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Right? Through the knowledge of God. So here's what he's saying. Everything that you're going to need to be the mature Christian God wants you to be, it's going to come from the knowledge of God. That's where it's going to come from. You're not going to get it in yourself. You're not going to read it in some self-help book out there unless that self-help book is teaching the scriptures. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from the knowledge of God. And so what do we need to remember about that? Well, we need the preaching. We need the knowledge of God. We need the teaching of the Bible. And I want to encourage you. Is everybody got your Bible tonight? Go ahead and don't hold it up way high, but just kind of hold it up so I can see it. If you don't have your Bible, I'm sorry. I don't mean to embarrass you. Let's see it. There you go. Now I'm going to say something, and I want you to look at this book while I'm saying it. Don't look at me. Look at this book. What you hold in your hand is all you need. Now you can look at me. This is all you need. You want to grow? You want to be mature? This is the knowledge of God. You need this. You will not grow if you don't get it from this. You won't be strong if you don't get it from this. It all comes from the knowledge of God. This is what he's talking about. If you read verse 3 and 4, which we won't because I don't want to re-preach it, but here's what he's talking about. He's talking about how the knowledge of God, or the preaching, the proper, the accurate, correct preaching and teaching of God's word exposes sin, doesn't it? It exposes sin. And whenever sin is exposed, people have an opportunity to repent when they're obedient to God. And so we need the preaching. We need God's word. And we need to be in a place where we're going to hear the preaching. We need to be in a place where we're going to be studying God's word. How many of you would give testimony tonight that when you get out of church, it affects your spirituality? Is that true or not? Yeah, I have a few witnesses there. Yeah. You say, well, you know, it doesn't affect me when I get out of church. I think you're deceived. I think we're affected. And I think if you're being honest, you would agree with that. How about when you stop reading your Bible, like on a daily basis? Because we don't get all we need just coming to church. That's a big part of it, but we need to read our Bibles every day. So how many of you say, Pastor, when I don't read my Bible every day, I can tell in life. I can tell, yeah. Because it's true. We need it. My wife is an excellent cook. Now, she wouldn't admit that, or she wouldn't boast of it. She would have to agree with me because I am right. And she does need to be respectful to her husband on that. So, she is an excellent cook. But here's what she says about that. She says, well, the reason I'm an excellent cook is because I know how to follow the recipe. I said, whatever. It's good. And so she gets the recipe out. And then she gets all the ingredients out, the flour, the honey. I don't even know what else. She's making honey bread. And I'm excited. So she gets the ingredients. You know, you got to make sure you start with the bowl. You got all the ingredients there because it'd be strange if you didn't have that. It'd be interesting. So you got your ingredients. And then what does she begin to do? She begins to add the ingredients to the bowl. Adding one ingredient after another ingredient into the bowl. And then whenever she gets it mixed and it goes through the recipe, you follow the instructions right down to the T, here's what you have. You have some really happy men in the home. Five happy boys in the house. And we are extremely, it's pure bliss. Let me just say that. It's like manna from heaven, I mean to tell you. And we're happy. Now, here's what God is wanting us to do. He's wanting us to add spirituality to our life. He's wanting us to add the ingredients from the Bible to our life. And when we do that, God will then make us into a mature Christian. This is what Peter is telling the church. We need to add some things to our life. Now, I want you to look at verse 5 again. He says, giving all diligence. Giving all diligence. He says, beside this, giving all diligence. That phrase meant to make of supreme focus. The idea is that you would make it a priority. Nothing should be more important than your spiritual growth. Nothing. That's what giving all diligence means. Supreme focus. Nothing is more important. It is the priority. And he emphasizes this. He says it again in the same chapter. Look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And so the idea is just, it's all through this whole passage that this needs to be a priority. This needs to be on our list, number one. And why would this be such a big deal for Peter? It's because it typically isn't our priority. We say, what do you mean, Pastor? No, I'm not indicting anybody tonight. I'm not judging anybody. I think that what I'm doing is identifying a common tendency of man. We tend not to make God the priority. We tend to allow, even if it's by letting it slip in there, we tend to let other things become more important than our own spiritual growth, which is church and our Bible reading. Now, how do you know that? Well, how easy is it at times that things get between us and coming to church? How easy is it that at times that things get in between us and reading our Bible every day? That's what I'm saying. It's our tendency to do that. And so we need to get our focus back. We need to make it a supreme focus. If you haven't been reading your Bible, it's time to get back in it. If you haven't been faithful and you could have been, it's time to get back faithful again and be in our place. Be where God wants us to be and begin that process. Now, he says in the verse, add to your faith, give all diligence. And then he said, add to your faith. Now, before we get into this process, you know, add your faith, virtue, and all this, we're going to spend some time talking about the word add. Okay? The word add is an action. This is an action word. It's the key to the engine of spiritual growth, if you would. It's what makes this whole thing work. It's the silent word. It's the silent action word in all of the rest of the passage. Look at verse 5. It says, add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. You see, it doesn't say add to virtue knowledge, but it's implied, isn't it? He said it, and then he doesn't say it again. He only said the word add one time, but it applies to all of them. So look at them with me. Add to your faith virtue, and add to virtue knowledge, and add to knowledge temperance, and add to temperance patience, and add to patience godliness, and add to godliness brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness charity. And so we're to add these things. It's an action. We take part in actively adding these things to our life. And so that's very, very important that we understand this is the beginning of the process. This is where we go from salvation to unconditional love, which is charity. It's the pattern of God's spiritual growth, or rather God's pattern of our spiritual growth. And it starts with faith. Have you ever taken a trip and, you know, on a journey somewhere? You had to start somewhere, right? Melissa and I went on our honeymoon. We went to Prince Edward Island. Anybody know where Prince Edward Island is? It's in Canada. It's beautiful, beautiful. It's above Maine, actually. So we flew, you know, flew in. I think we flew into Nova Scotia or Halifax. We flew into Halifax, which is in Nova Scotia. And we stayed there, and then we were in Nova Scotia, and we drove through Nova Scotia, and we were going to be in New Brunswick for a day or a couple days, you know. And so we drove there, and then we're going to go to Prince Edward Island, so we had to come in to Nova Scotia, because from there you had to go to Prince Edward Island. It is an island. It's not like Grand Island. That's not really an island. It's an actual island. And to get there, there's two ways to get to the island. You could take a ferry, or you could drive over a bridge that's 9 miles long. It goes over the ocean. It's a pretty interesting drive. It's $40 either way, so we thought, well, let's just drive over this bridge, you know? I think we should have took the ferry because that would have been less scary. But you get on this bridge and the thing just goes up. And then whenever you get to the top of it, it goes down. It's never flat. Did I say it's 9 miles and it goes over the ocean? Okay. So when you get to the top, it's going like this. It's real creepy, you know? And all you see, because once you get 4.5 miles in, you can barely see land on each side, or you know, you don't see much land, but definitely in this direction, there's no land. And so we're ready to get across that thing. So we get into Prince Edward Island, and we stayed there, and we just really had a good time. But you know where we started? We started in Oklahoma City, and then we flew, and we landed in Prince Edward Island. I would say Prince Edward Island is a little bit better than Oklahoma City. I know Brother Davidson was here. He would disagree with me, and Brother Gaddis. But just take my word for it. Oklahoma City? Yeah. Or Prince Edward Island? Yeah. Way better. But we would have never have gotten to Prince Edward Island if we didn't start in Oklahoma City. You have to start somewhere. You're never going to get where God wants you to go if you don't start. You have to start. And that's what we're talking about here. The starting place is understanding this word add. And that's what Peter is addressing here. It's adding to their faith. That's the starting place. It's not the final destination. Your faith, your salvation is not where your spiritual growth stops. That's where it starts. And so now it's time to add to our spiritual life. So where do we go from there? Well, it's this word add implies an open heart. And I want you to note that, okay? The word add implies an open heart because you can't add anything if you don't have an open heart. And so there's an implication there of an open heart. You'll add to your spiritual life if you have an open heart. I don't want to complicate this. And if you feel that I've already complicated, I do apologize because I didn't mean to do that. But if your heart isn't open, then you're not going to be adding anything to your spiritual life. You're going to come to church and it's just going to be religion. You're going to read your Bible and you're not going to get one thing out of it if your heart's not open. If you're not going to church planning on adding something, you're not going to add anything. If you don't go to your Bible reading on a daily basis, planning on adding something, then you're not going to add something. You're not going to spiritually grow. And so we have to go into this thing knowing God has a destination for us. And we have to have an open heart to this whole process and say, God, I'm willing to change. God, I'm willing to be taught. Yeah, I should have known this. Maybe. I should have known that. But it's okay. I'm willing to be taught. I'm willing to change. I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to add things to my life. Hey, listen, we're going to be in church and we're going to be teaching some things from the Bible. We're going to be talking about virtue. We're going to spend a whole sermon talking about virtue. He's like, oh man, he could preach a whole sermon on one word. And we're doing it right now. The word add. This whole sermon is only that word, okay? And we're going to do it again next week, God willing. And we're going to talk about virtue. But you know what you're going to find when we study virtue? There's a lot of things that virtue for us to make application of virtue to our life, it means we need to make a lot of changes. And we need to have our heart open to that or we won't be adding virtue. You see? And so our heart needs to be open on a daily basis, willing to be taught. But if your heart is already full, if you already have all that you need, it's all packaged up and you're good, I don't really need anything else, then you won't be taught and you won't grow. And you will become vulnerable. And so it's openness. It's willingness to say, I will be willing to be taught. Yeah. Did you know that it doesn't work to force feed spiritual things? Have you learned that, Brother Chad? You can't force feed this stuff. I remember when my kids were babies. You remember moms and dads when your kids were babies? You have memories of that? They're in the high chair and you've got the baby food. And don't tell me you didn't try it. Okay, I was interested. What does this stuff taste like? Well, it's not too bad. Anyway, so they're there, and my kids are hilarious. They haven't changed much, but when you get that spoon close to their mouth, they're ready. Oh, you know, if they could jump at it, they would. Remember that? Oh, it was awesome. I remember those days. We'd play with them too. Yeah, and they're like, so it's time to feed the boys, and we're feeding them. You know, sometimes you're putting that food in there, and you're like, oh, we got to get this done. And you're cramming it in there, and then all of a sudden, bleh, it comes out. You know? You cannot. It becomes a problem whenever you're force-feeding them, you see? You're in a hurry. It doesn't work out too well, usually. You can't force-feed spiritual things. You're not going to grow if I'm cramming stuff down your throat. It doesn't work. Now, you might feel like I'm cramming something down your throat, but you're not going to grow by that because it's just going to come back out. And it's not pretty when that happens. It's not a good thing. So it can't be force-fed. Listen, what does that mean? It means you need to have an open heart to it. There's a scripture in the New Testament. It was one of the Beatitudes. I didn't have it in my notes, but I thought of this earlier today. I think it really fits. Remember one of the Beatitudes that Jesus, I think it's a beatitude. It's blessed are those that are hungry and thirsty for the word. That's what God wants us to be. It won't do you any good to be force-fed this stuff. You will not grow. If you're not coming with an open heart, it's just going to be religion to you. It's just going to be going through the traditions and the ceremonies and the singing. Listen, every church has ceremonial little things that we do. We do the same thing every Wednesday night, the same thing, okay? And there's nothing wrong with that. We're creatures of habit. If I came in here and I said, we're doing it all backwards, we're going to start with the invitation, and we just did all backwards, and we ended with the first song, that would be weird. We would all be uncomfortable with that, so I'm okay with doing things the same every time. But we can't let it just become religious to us, going through the motions. When you come to church, you have to have your heart open. But not just like verbalizing that. You can't just say, I'm open. You need to be hungry. Teach me. Feed me. You know, jump at it. Whatever it takes. I need this. I need the word. I have to have it. That's what it means to add. Add means your heart is wide open and you're willing to be taught. and you want to be taught, and you're willing to change, and you want to change. And it's not about whether or not you felt like you should have already known this or not. It's okay if you maybe should have known it, but you didn't. That's fine. We got it now. And we're going to apply it. We're going to take it in. And you know what God's going to do with it? He's going to make you a strong and mature Christian. It will happen. You will grow. You will be strong. And you won't be vulnerable. You won't doubt your salvation. You will be mature. And that is precisely what we need, church. We need some mature Christians. We need some people that are willing to be taught. So the process of spiritual growth, where does it start? No, it doesn't start with virtue, or rather faith. It starts with add. You have to have your heart open before you ever start. That's where it starts, with an open heart. Yep. So what do we need to do with the Bible? What do we need to treat it like? We need to treat it like it's a necessity. What do you do if you don't eat? Eventually you die. Eventually. It's a necessity. You have to have it. We need to treat it that way. There are some things in life that are treated like necessities that are not necessities, like cell phones. Those are not necessities. TVs. You know, we've had a lot of kids come into our house. We have a TV now, but a lot of kids came in our house in the past many years, and they're like, where's your TV? You know, we don't have one. You don't have a TV? What do you do? You know? Nothing. We just sit and look at the wall. You know, we're totally bored all the time, you know? Yeah, there's some things that the world calls a necessity, and they're not really necessary, are they? This is a necessity. You have to treat it like it's a necessity, like a necessary thing. Okay, you have to have this. I told you about Prince Edward Island, right? Let me give you another interesting part of this story, okay? We flew out from Oklahoma City. Did we go to St. Louis or New York? I can't even remember. I should have done that research. Anyway, it was St. Louis then. St. Louis into Halifax. It was awesome. And we rented a car, because I knew we were going to be driving to, you know, from Nova Scotia to New Brunswick to Prince Edward on that 9-mile-long bridge. We had a rental car, right? And we get on the road. Now, this was BC, church, before cell phones. I didn't have a cell phone, or it was the big block kind, you know. I didn't know where I was going. And we're driving, and we got lost. That's what happens when you don't have a cell phone that has GPS on it. You get lost. And so we're driving, remember that? We drove for 2 hours the wrong direction. I mean, not just like we're going here and we drove 2 hours here. No, we're going here and we drove 2 hours this way. The complete opposite direction. 2 hours. Oh, and we just got married. So we're not going to be mad at each other. It's just more time to be together. We can stare at each other. We can't be mad at each other. You know, whose fault is this? It doesn't matter. We're together. And so we turn around, and we're on our journey. 2 hours. And you know, after 4 hours of driving, we were right back where we started. Awesome day. Awesome day. Time well spent. We talked, you know. I wish we had already read that book, you know. Because anyway, 4 hours on the road, and we were right where we started. You ever feel like that's how you are in your spiritual life? I've been doing this for a long time, but I feel like I'm nowhere. I feel like I'm in my spiritual life. I feel like I have spent a large portion of my life going in the wrong direction. And now I'm trying to get it straightened out. I'm trying to listen to God. I'm trying to go in the right direction. And after a little time, now we feel like, all right, I've spent a lot of my life, but I'm just now at the beginning. You know? You know, that's okay. Let's just start right there. And then go the way God wants us to go. Because Listen, God's going to get you there. He's going to get you to your final destination, which is unconditional love. It's called charity. But it's quite a journey getting there. And often we go the wrong direction. But God wants to get us there. But I promise you this, church, if you come with an open heart, if you come with an open heart, He will get you there. He will get you there. And I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for our church as we do this together. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this message, and I pray that you'd help us to, Lord, make the right applications of this to our life. It's such a need. We need to grow. And I know that many of us, Lord, would admit that a lot of our life we've spent going in the wrong direction. It's time to just, I guess, do a restart or a reset and start adding. And with an open heart, Lord, add the spiritual characteristics you want us to add. And then one step at a time, watch you take us where you want us to go. Lord, it's an exciting journey. I pray you'd help the church to see it. And two, go ahead and decide that they're going to be teachable. Go ahead and decide that they're going to make the Bible a necessary thing in life and not an option. And we'll praise you even now for it in Jesus' name. Amen.